Blog Talk Radio.
Talk Radio. This is your host, Evangelist Teresa Scott, and I'd like to say Happy New Year, Happy New Year, Happy New Year, and we're glad to be back in the helm. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. Glad to be back, glad to be back, glad to be back. So, without further ado, we just want to go ahead and have a word of prayer right quick, and then we can talk about knowing your worth. Hallelujah. And not only your worth, but your purpose also. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you and bless you for another day. Father, we ask you that you will forgive us for all of our sins, or word, thoughts, or deeds. Anything we've done, Lord God, that was not pleasing to you, we ask your forgiveness, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I just say thank you and I bless your name, Lord God. I give you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah. Father, I just say thank you. We love you, Lord God. We ask, oh God, that what we hear tonight, we will not only be hearers, but we will be doers of your word tonight, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Not only for ourselves, but that we can teach others too, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, how to know their worth and how to be successful. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Father, I just say thank you for it now, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And I bless your holy name and give you praise and give you glory and give you honor in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Of course, my computer is having an issue, and I'm trying to get into the chat room, and at this moment it's not letting me do so. So, wow, it just totally shut me off. I hope I'm still live on the air, because it just completely shut me out. But I guess if you guys can hear me, that means I'm still on the air. Because I did call in, not by Skype today, I did call in by the phone. So we should be on. Give me a moment here. Let me see if I can get back in here and play us a song right quick and then read us a scripture. But while we're doing all of this, I want you to think about, do you know what your purpose is? If you know what your purpose is, are you working your purpose? Do you know what your worth is as a woman? Do you even know what that means? So we want to talk about that on tonight, because a lot of times we say things are not clear. We're not really clear about what we're talking about. But we want to talk about that one tonight. And before we truly get started here, I'm trying to get this computer to boost up for me. And it looks like it's coming back on. But we'd also like to get the perspective of a woman's worth from a man, because I think, you know, a lot of time men hear us women running our mouths about it and this, that, and the third, but I would like to hear a man's perspective about a woman's worth. I really would, because I know what I think I'm worth. I know what Proverbs 31 says about women, but I would like to know from a man's point of view, what does he think is a woman's worth? What does he think a woman's purpose is on this earth? I'm not talking about her vocation. I mean, just what is a woman's purpose on this earth? Is it just to, you know, be a wife? Is it just to have babies? What is the purpose of a woman? And I'd like to hear it from a man's perspective. I think that would be really, really good. So if you're on the phone line, can you call your friends or go on Facebook or whatever and ask some of your friends who are male if they could join us tonight in the Blog Talk Radio, because I really would like to hear a man's perspective on what do you think is a woman's worth. Of course, if my husband is available, I'll get him on the line to speak about it. But I just want to have regular people, like my sister's husband. I'm sure he's not going to get on the phone. But I would just like to know, man, what is a woman? What is a woman's worth to you? I just really, really, really want to know that. So if you know anybody, a male who you can get on the line and ask them, you know, what do you think a woman's worth is? Ask them to call in. I'd love to hear their perspective. I'd love to hear their perspective. So in the meantime, I'm going to see if I can scare up some people. And while I'm waiting, I'm going to go ahead and play a song. And as this song is playing, maybe we can get somebody to come in on the line and just say to me, what do you think a woman's worth is? And guess what? I will get on the phone and I will do one of those things I do. I'll get on the phone line and I'll call a man and I'll ask him, excuse me, can you do me a favor? Can you please tell me what do you think a woman's worth is? And I have a very specific reason for talking about this topic today, because I was in a conversation with someone on yesterday, and the conversation didn't go well as far as I'm concerned. It was a male, and his perspective of women is a little bit messed up. And this is how come I came up with this topic today, because I just really wanted to know, you know, what people think, what women think about themselves. You know, you could have people talking to you and tell you, you know, that you're this and you're this and you're that and you're supposed to be this and you're supposed to be that. But if you don't know all of that for yourself, if you're not seeking that for yourself, if you're not really trying to find out who you are for yourself, people can tell you who you are, who they think God say you're supposed to be, and all of that. But you got to grasp it. You got to get a hold to it. It has to become real to you. It has to become alive in you. You know what I mean? Because people can prophesy to you or just speak nice things to you in your life. But if you don't believe it, chances are you're not going to do anything about it. So let's listen to this song, and we'll be right back.
You know, back in the day when we used to have testimony service, my mama would stand up on her feet and she'd throw her head back and sing songs like this. She said, how I got over, how I got over my soul. Run me through great trials. You know, this is what they call an old traditional song. But since I love to keep young people around me, my 21-year-old nephew, Tim Bowman Jr., he's gonna show us how to sing it in the 21st century. Timmy, how would you say it?
I said, Scott Poppy do that how I made it over. Scott Poppy do that how I made it over. Scott Poppy do that how I made it over. Scott Poppy do that how I made it over. Scott Poppy do that how I made it over.
Okay, we're having technical difficulties with the phone, but that would be great if that's a male on 919-949, that we could get your perspective as well on a woman's worth. Guest number 3450, thank you for joining us on tonight in the chat room. And male or female, I would like to know what your position is on a woman's worth. And I also would like to know, as women, what is your purpose? Do you know your purpose? Has anybody ever told you your purpose? Have you ever discovered your purpose? If you have, let's talk about that. And the first person we'd like to speak to would be my husband, Bishop Gerald Scott. So, Bishop Scott?
Yes.
Hi.
Good evening to you, Evangelist Scott, and to your listening audience, both in the chat room and in the studio, as well as those that will be listening in, on the archives a little later.
Hi. I'm your wife. Everybody knows that.
Yes.
I just want your perspective, and I want to read the scripture. I want to read Proverbs 31. But before I get to Proverbs 31, I would just like to hear what your perspective is on a woman's worth. And because I never asked a man that, so I really like to hear what you have to say.
Well, I mean, I believe that God has a purpose for everyone, and he certainly has a particular purpose for a woman. When God made Adam, God realized right away that the hippopotamus and the mule and the donkey and the elephant wouldn't be enough to help him as he needed help. He needed help from someone who could relate to him. Someone that could be a partner with him in life. And so he created woman. He said, it's not good for man to be alone. And so he created woman to be that helpmeet, and not to be one that lags behind, but one that goes side by side with the man, that they have a joint purpose in life. I know that the greatest men that ever lived, if you look at them, they had a great woman beside them. I know Proverbs, there in Proverbs, it does speak about the worth of a woman. And as far as my perspective is concerned, I agree with it wholeheartedly. I believe that the women are unique and special and have a special place in the scheme of God's ultimate plan, and particularly his plans for man. I thank God for women. Were it not for a woman, I wouldn't be here. Was not for a woman training and leading and guiding my life, I don't know if I would even be walking in the Christian walk. I think about my grandmother and the women that I admired so much over the years. I have a woman now, my wife, who certainly helped me through and has been there with me, and no matter during the high times and the low times, that through it all, we've been together. And so I believe that the woman's worth has great worth. I'll put it like that. A woman has great worth. She's not a sidekick in the sense of being subordinate. She is a partner. If you know what a partner is not subordinate to his other partner. They work on this thing together, and together they achieve great things. I believe that God made it so that a man and a woman are intertwined one with another, and particularly the woman that God gives to the man. Their lives are intertwined. Their destinies are intertwined. If he succeeds, she succeeds, and vice versa. If he fails, she fails, and vice versa. And whether they even, I believe, whether the man wants to admit it or whether the woman wants to accept it, it's a fact. Every time that there were issues, that's why Satan wants to destroy the family. He wants to destroy marriages. But he knows the power of marriages. It took Sarah and Abraham to make Isaac. You go on and on and on. It took a man and a woman to create the great people that we admire, the people that have made impact in the world today. It was a man and a woman working together to realize God's purpose for not just an individual man in this case, but mankind as a whole. Where would we be without women? I don't know where we would be. I think we would be not as we are. I don't think life would be as good. I don't think life would be as fulfilling, as rewarding, if we would subtract. I don't care about the biological aspect. I mean life itself, our purpose and our drive and our ambitions are all encouraged by women. And in the same token, we should be an encouragement to what they are striving to attain as well. Not a one-sided thing, and nor should it be. I don't believe God ever puts people together just for one person's benefit. I believe when he puts you together, he puts you together for a joint venture and for a joint purpose and for a joint blessing.
Okay. Now I'm having problems with my computer, so I can't see who's in the studio. I'm working on it while he was speaking. I've been trying to work on this thing because I really don't know what's going on with it right now, but I can't get into the studio to see who's in there if anybody has a response. So I'm going to keep working on it to try to get back in here because I need to be in there. But, as a woman and as a married woman, sometimes I know that women get caught up in their husband's identity, especially in the church world. If you're not careful, you get caught up in the shadow of your husband if he's in, like, a really popular person, or you get lost in the shadow of your husband. I know that I had an identity problem with myself at one point in my life because I felt like, he's the pastor, and everybody wanted to cling and flock to the pastor. And Teresa was just left there, and I had a problem with that because I didn't know who I was.
So my identity was wrapped up in him, but at the same time, I felt like I didn't belong because I didn't know my purpose and I didn't know my worth. Now, I know my purpose and I know my worth, and nobody can tell me anything differently. I know who I am. I know why I'm on this earth. Do I always do what I'm supposed to do pertaining to my purpose? No, I don't. I don't. I can't. Don't. But I'm learning. I'm learning to do things in reference to the purpose God made me for come to pass. Okay? So is anybody on the phone line? Can you join in the conversation? I would like it if you did join in the conversation. Okay, I'm back in the studio. So we do have two other callers on the line. If you'd like to press the one and join in on the conversation, and I'm trying to get back to the chat room to see if anybody's in there having anything to say. But it's really important that we understand as women who we are. A lot of times women lose their identity in their relationships, whether they're married or not. If they're in a relationship, especially a long-term relationship with someone, they kind of tend to lose their identity because they become who that person wants them to be. They're the wife. They're the mother. They're the wife on demand. When the husband wants her, she has to be there. That kind of thing. So she doesn't really know who she is outside of that. At work, she's the this, whatever she is at work. And then when she comes home, you know, she doesn't do anything to build herself up. She doesn't do anything to encourage herself. She doesn't do anything to work on her purpose to make her life worth anything more than what it is. Maybe that's all she wants. I don't know, because some people aren't satisfied with just being at home and just being mothers and just doing this and that. I'm not that person. I'm not that person. I'm not just satisfied with sitting home. I like to do things, and I'm a writer. I'm a writer. I like to write. I like to talk. This is why I'm doing Blog Talk Radio, because I like to talk. I like to help people. I like to do things for the community as far as the homeless people are concerned. You know, these are the kind of things that I like to do. I'm not satisfied with just sitting in the house doing nothing, because that's not my purpose, okay? At one point in my life, I did not know my worth. I thought I was everything everybody else called me. Everybody, whatever they said I was, that's what I was supposed to be. I didn't know my own worth. I didn't know my own value. I didn't know that I'm out here helping other people grow their business. I didn't realize that I had the talent to do it for my own self, to grow my own business, because I didn't know my own worth. I thought I was good only to help somebody else bring forth their vision and to bring forth their, you know, ministry, or to bring forth their business. When here I am, I've been an administrative assistant. I can run an office. I can run it up and down with my eyes closed. Why can't I just do that for myself? Well, I can. I can. And I realize that, and when I talk about it and I say it like that, I say it like that because I'm happy that I did discover that if I did it for someone else and God equips me to do it for them, how much more would he do that for me? But see, I had to understand who I am. I had to understand my worth. And I was saying, you know, one day when I was talking to one of my friends, and the Lord just had me sit down and begin to write out my resume. And I was like, Lord, but I'm not applying for a job because you don't want me to work right now. He had me write out my resume, and the reason he had me write out my resume so that I could see who I was, so that I could see what he equipped me to do. See, I didn't think of it in terms of, God, you gave me these gifts and talents to help me, to help our ministry, to launch us to go forth. I hadn't thought about it like that because I've always worked for someone else. But when he had me sit down and write my resume out, he had me to see and value myself. I couldn't believe it when I looked at my resume. I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow, like I really did all of that? I really actually did all of that. And the Lord let me know, yes, and you still can do that for your own ministry and for ministry with your husband. There's no need for you to sit back and have to worry about doing it for other people. Now, the same skills and talents that I equipped you with, you get up and do it for your own ministry and for ministry with your husband. He validated me on that day. I don't need not another person to tell me about my gifts and my call. I know what God has given me because God sat down and made me write this down to realize who I am. Isn't that nice? It don't have to do with being a minister or evangelist or elder or prophet or anything. It ain't got nothing to do with that. He's talking about just my, let me see who I am. Let me see who he created me to be. Let me see the gifts and talents that I have hidden. Remember that story in the Bible when the ruler, he gave his the three people coins. He gave one coin. He gave one, two coins. And he gave the other one, what was it, five coins, Gerald? And then the one with the five coins and the one with the two coins, they went out and made more money off of those two coins. And the one with the one coin, he hid it in the ground and didn't do anything with it. And when the owner or whoever he was came back and realized that the one with the one coin had hid his coin, he was very upset with him. And he took it from him. And God reminds me of that story a lot about the talents that we have and we don't use them. I have so many talents and gifts in me, it is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And they're just sitting here. Well, I'm using some of them, and now that I have time, I'm beginning to do more things with them. Now my equipment wants to act up, but I'm going to get some more equipment so I can be able to do the things that I need to do. And then not sit here and wait for things to happen by osmosis when God has given me the ability. I can't blame anybody because God has equipped me, and he has shown me my worth. He has shown me my natural worth, okay? And so I have no more excuse because God showed me. He didn't use anybody else to show me. He showed me. I remember that day so well. And, Lisa, I don't know if you remember me telling you that, but I began to sit there, and I was writing out my resume. And it's very lengthy. My resume is very lengthy. It should be. I'm 48 years old. I've held multitudes of positions, okay? But God began to show me my worth. And I didn't even, at that time, I didn't even appreciate it when he was showing me my worth. But I do right now, this very moment, because he's bringing it back to my attention. I appreciate what God did, and I'm not going to hide my talent and my gifts under the ground for God to come and just be mad at me and take them away. This for me. What he has for me is for me, and what he has for you is for you. Now, the other reason why I was talking about a woman's worth is because I had a conversation with my brother yesterday, and I did tell him that I was going to be talking about this on the radio today as well as writing a blog about it. So I already wrote the blog about it, but I wanted to talk about it because yesterday, you know, my brother's a little cocky, and he got out of prison in what, in June, like right after my mom died, he got out of prison. And so, you know, he'd been there for a few years, like 9.5 years, and you know how it is when a man is in prison, and he gets out, he gets loose. So he was talking about some chick he was seeing or whatever, and she's not relationship material and this, that, and the other. And I kind of got offended when he said that. I was like, what do you mean she's not relationship material? He said, well, she's just not relationship material because she got too much mouth and this and this. I said, well, but you banging her. And I'm sorry, that's how I said it to him. You're banging her, like you're having sex with her. Okay, so she's not good enough for you to be in a relationship with, but she's good enough to have sex with whenever you want? Oh, bye, boy. We can't have this conversation because you're wrong. A woman is worth more than that. She's not a sperm dumping ground, and that's what you're treating women as sperm dumping grounds. So if she's not good enough to be in a relationship, then you shouldn't be trying to get none from her. Go find you a woman who's good enough to be in a relationship with, and then you can marry her and bang her and do whatever you want to do. But I think what you said right here is wrong. That she's not good enough to be in a relationship with, but you can have sex with her.
No, you wrong. Bye, boy. You can't say that in front of me. Okay, because I'm a woman. So I'm not going to just sit there and let you say, oh, that's all she's good for. But guess what? If a woman thinks and lives like that's all she's worth, that's how she's going to get treated. If a woman thinks that's all she's worth and she allows herself to get treated like that, that's how she's going to get treated. And then I really can't blame the man because he's doing what she allows him to do. He's only doing what she allows him to do. So she allows herself to be a sperm dump, then that's exactly what she's going to be. And it's not only going to be my brother dumping into her, it's going to be the next man, the next man, the next man, and the next man. Until she understands her worth, until she understands her value. She's not going to understand her worth if she keeps letting some man and then the next man and then the next man and then the next man keep dumping into her like that. They don't do anything for her. All you're good for is sex. And then after that, bye. And then I don't want to see you no more until I want sex again. Bye. She doesn't know her worth. That's not what God put her on this earth for, so that she can just jump from man to man to man to man to man and let him dump whenever he want to dump. Uh-uh. That's not what he put us women here for. And I want women to understand and get a grip. Know your worth. Know your worth. You don't even have to be a Christian. If you don't want to come up to the Christian side and understand what I'm saying from a spiritual aspect, understand it from the natural aspect that you are not a sperm dumping ground. You deserve a relationship. You deserve a man to nourish you and cherish you. You deserve a man to pay attention to you. You deserve a man to buy you nice things and treat you nice. Not just make babies with you, and then you find out he got a baby the same age as the one he made with you, and he got five more the same age as the baby he made with you. Come on with that. And then you still chasing behind him because now you mad because he got these other babies. You want to beat the other girls up because they got babies with your man, but he didn't tell them that he had a baby with you, so they didn't even really know about you, but you out there in the street fighting. And then, you know, come on. Know your worth, ladies. Know your worth. See, we need to have classes like this for young women. We need to have classes and little settings for young women, these teenagers, so that they can know. That just because you can spread your legs, that doesn't make you valuable. Just because you can spread your legs and give it up to anybody you want to give it up, that's not what makes you valuable. Are you serious? That's not what makes you valuable. Excuse me. Your vagina is not what makes you valuable. It's who you are on the inside and God, how God is using you. How much do you think you're worth to God? We haven't even touched on that, but we're going to get on that part in a few minutes. But let me finish what I'm going to tell you about my brother. He said a woman can be, he's using the analogy that a woman can be like a used car. You would only use it in a city to get you from point A to point B, but you wouldn't take it on the highway. Oh, that was enough right there, because I was getting ready to pop him. I was getting ready to pop him so hard when he said that. How you going to compare a woman to a used car that's not worth getting you nowhere but point A to point B, and then don't even, he said, yeah, you can't probably get no more than 50 miles off of it, then it's no good. It ain't really good for nothing but the junkyard. I said, see, this right here, he going to make me hurt him. Why would you say that? If you know that it's not going to be any good for anything more than getting you to point A to point B, why don't you invest in a vehicle that's going to take you somewhere and have a long-lasting relationship, something that you can take across country, something that you can take to another state? Why would you just get something that's only going to be able to take you to point A to point B? Because that's all you're interested in, and that's how you look at women? That's how you look at women? That's really how you look at women? So, he don't understand that I'm really done with him on that area because I am a woman, okay? I'm your sister, but I am a woman, and that's how you feel? So you, a woman, and then you know with a used car, you're only going to get liability insurance because a used car, if it's in that bad of shape, it's not worth more than that. But then there's collision, there's comprehensive insurance, there's insurance that you get for medical, there's insurance that you get for if somebody get killed or get hurt, you know, for being in an accident with you. There's like 7 different types of insurances. Yeah, I wrote a blog on it today, well, yesterday, and it's 7 different insurances. But if you got a hoopty, all you're going to do is get a liability on it. So you looking at women as hoopties? And a woman letting you drive her, she letting you ride her because she don't know her worth. She don't know her worth. I got to make a video of this, y'all. Know your worth. Know your worth. If you're on the phone line, if you have a question or a comment, please press the 1, and I will get you on. I will get you on. I see Lisa Lees in the chat room. If you have anything to comment on there in this, please do so, because you know I'm crazy, but this is the thing that we really, as women, we got to know our worth, and we need to know our purpose, okay? Proverbs, the Proverbs 31 woman, she was priceless. She did not lose her identity in her husband, but she knew her place, and she knew how to make her husband look good, and when she made her husband look good, she looked good. Her price, it says, is far above rubies. Her price is far above rubies. I would like my husband to say that about me one day, to say, you know what, my wife, to me, her price is far above rubies. I would love for my husband to say, I've never heard him say that. I don't know if he thinks that, but I've never heard him say that. But that would make me feel like, wow, I accomplished something. I'm making him look good. I'm trying to make him look good. I'm trying to, you know, I'm out there trying to do that. And he can say that my wife is a crown to me. She's a jewel in my head, in my crown. My wife, yes. I nourish her. I cherish her, yes. And then, you know how much more that would make me feel? How much more better things would be if he said something like that? Man, I might be cooking every day. Stop laughing, Lisa. I might be cooking every day. You talk to a sister like that, make me feel like I'm worth something. Okay? And at the same time, not... my identity is not going to be tied up in just by what my husband says about me, but I know who God says I am. I know who God says I am, and I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. God didn't make any junk when he made people. I'm not junk. I'm not junk. I'm not all those names people called me when I was little. I'm not all those names people call me as an adult woman. I'm not any of that. What God calls me is what I am. I am a child of God. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away, and all things are become new. That's who I am. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's who I am. And I need you to understand that. Because I'm not taking anything less from anybody else. I refuse to be anything less than what my Heavenly Father has called me. I refuse. I am beautiful. Not because my nails are done and my hairs are done. No, I'm beautiful because I have the sweet presence of the Holy Spirit in me. I have the anointing of God on me and in me. I'm beautiful because I do beautiful things. I could be, somebody could look at me and like, dang, she's ugly. But she's so beautiful. The things that she does, she's just a sweet person. She's just a, come on now. And we sometimes have to just look at ourselves and say, you know what, God, you made me lovely. You made me beautiful, God. You made me worthy. Yes, you made me worthy to be loved. You made me worthy to be cherished. And guess what? If nobody nourishes me right now or cherishes me right now, I nourish myself and I cherish myself. Why? Because God does. Because God does. Oh, God loves him some Teresa. Yes, he does. Oh, yes, God loves himself some Teresa. He loves himself some Shirley. He loves himself some whoever's on 919-949. He loves himself some Lisa Lee. Oh, yes, he does. Oh, he created us. He took us out of man's rib and tenderly made us. He formed us. Yes, he did. Every piece about us, God knows about. He gave us a womb so we can birth another human. Check that out. He made us nurturers. Check that out. See, women, we can be something that a man can never be. They can never be that, what we are. And Satan has come and, you know, pulled a whammy on people, and now you got men out here trying to be women. The one man, talking about he's the first pregnant man, you're a liar because you're not a man. So you're not the first pregnant man. You're the first woman who changed her identity to be a man who had a baby. That's what that was. Genetically? No. You're not a man. You're still a woman. But on paper, you've called yourself a man. But what God makes, he makes no mistakes. And he made me a woman, and I'm glad about it. I am a precious woman in his sight. Yes, I am. I'm precious in my husband's sight. Yes, I am. He's nourishing me. He's cherishing me. I'm a crown to his head.
Man.
Oh, I thought you left. Oh.
I've been here all along.
Oh. I'm a crown to his head. And the thing about it is, my husband doesn't say that. But it's the way he treats me. He doesn't beat me. He doesn't belittle me. He doesn't call me names. He doesn't talk bad about me. He encourages me. He encourages me to get this book done. He encourages me to go ahead and do ministry and get this stuff here. My husband encourages me. We encourage each other, and that's how it should be in a marriage relationship. But if one or the other does not know their worth, that's not going to happen. If I had to sit around here and think about who likes me and who doesn't like me, I'd be cuckoo, cuckaloo all day long. I don't even have time for that because that's a distraction that Satan wants us to have so we can take our eyes off of what God has for us. Woman, know your worth. Know your worth. God didn't put you on this earth to be a punching bag for any man. He didn't put you on this earth to be a doormat for any man. He didn't put you on this earth to be man's slave. He put you on this earth, and as a wife, he put you on this earth to be your husband's helpmeet, to help him meet whatever he needs to meet that God has sanctioned for him. But we can't do it if we're nagging, if we're belittling them, if we're constantly saying stuff that's wrong. You know, everything is wrong. Nothing's ever right. No, everything's wrong. Nothing's ever right. See, I had to read a book called For Married Women Only. It's by Tony Evans. And I read the scriptures on marriage over and over again, over and over again. Yeah, yeah, whatever. And I wasn't ready to submit to the will of God. But this book, I knew when I got this book, because of the anointing on it, some things were going to begin to shift and some things were going to begin to change. And because of the readings in this book, not just because it's Tony Evans, but the book is anointed, and the words that came across the page, and he used a scripture. He's not out there trying to use no hocus pocus, none of that stuff. He tell you straight like it is. And some of the stuff that he wrote in there, I just wanted to put the book down, but I couldn't put it down because it was life for me, so I can get to know more about my worth. Oh, my gosh. This book is something else. It teaches you about being a submissive wife. We think being submissive means that we got to be weak and stupid and walking around with our heads down and, you know, yes, sir. Yes. No, that's not what that means. And once we begin to understand submission and how we are supposed to submit to God first and foremost, we will begin to see some things change. And I've seen some things change. And my husband said he's seen some things change. So something's working around here. But I know my worth. I know my worth. It's not going to hurt me to say yes instead of what. I had to laugh at that. Okay, it's not going to hurt me to, if I go in the kitchen and cook, fix him a plate and hand it to him. That's not going to hurt me. It's not going to hurt me to do some of the little things around here that I just was not doing. It's not going to hurt me to begin to do them. You know why? Because I know my worth. I know my worth. Teresa finally understands who Teresa is. That's what happened. And I understand who I am from God's perspective. See, I tried to live Teresa's life through other people's eyes, through what other people said. But God had to show me who I am through his eyes. Hallelujah. And until we see ourselves through God's eyes, we will answer to everything else other people call us, or we will do everything that other people tell us to do until we recognize our worth and understand our purpose. No, I don't think it's pride if you stand in the mirror and you say, I am loved of God. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am the anointed vessel of God. I am a child of God. I am loved by God, and nothing can change that, and nothing can separate me from that. Oh, no, there's nothing wrong with that. And then some of us have to say that until we believe it. And we can tell that some people, some women don't really understand their worth because of the way they're living and the way they're allowing people to treat them. So that's all I have to say, because I'm just really excited about this. Women, know your worth. Know your worth, women. God made us women for a reason. The Bible calls us the weaker vessel, and that we are. But we are so powerful when we begin to walk in humility, when we begin to walk in love, when we begin to walk in forgiveness, when we begin to walk in respect, when we begin to submit to our husbands, or, you know, just submit to God. We are some powerhouses. I tell you, we are some powerhouses. The devil will want to come and try to contend with us, but we are powerhouses when we submit to the will of God. But see, we can't submit to God's spiritual will for us if we're looking at it in the flesh. We got to look at this thing in the spirit. Those of us who are born again, we got to look at this in the spirit, because our natural mind does not receive this stuff. To the natural mind, this stuff is crazy. The natural mind saying submit to him. What? What? But God, don't you see what he doing? Why do I have to submit to him? But God, he's not doing this for me. Why do I have to submit to him? And God's word is just as plain. Wives, submit to your own husband. Wives, but God, he's not. Wives, submit to your own husband. But God, did you see what he said to me? Wives, submit to your own husbands. But God, did you hear what he said? Wives, submit to your own husbands. But God, I'm telling you, he keep going out every night, and he doing this and he doing that. Wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. See, that's a spiritual part of it. We got to submit as unto the Lord. Not submitting as I'm submitting unto Gerald. Okay? And not you submitting as to whatever your husband's name is. But as unto the Lord. If the Lord was sitting here and asked me to fix him a pancake breakfast, would I do it? I sure would. I wouldn't complain. I wouldn't murmur. I wouldn't say, oh, you know, I can't stand cooking. I'm just not going to do it. I wouldn't do none of that. I'd go right in the kitchen, wash my hands, get the pans together, and get that pancake breakfast or whatever he asked for and get it ready for him. Why? Because he is the Lord our God. And you know, the Bible says that Sarah called her husband Lord. And when I first read that, I believe I first read that in The Power of a Praying Wife. Well, I read it somewhere, and I was like, oh, uh-uh. See, now you tripping. Now you're tripping if you think I'm going to call him Lord. Now I know you. What? Woo-hoo. But guess what? I haven't done it yet, y'all. I haven't said it yet. I haven't done the Lord part yet. Mm-mm. I haven't done that. I haven't got there yet. I'm just saying, I haven't got there yet. So y'all pray for a sister. And it's not anything bad. It's not that he sold this and this and I can't call him Lord. It just sounds funny trying to say, yes, Lord, how may I help you? Oh, wow. Now, when we get there, you know God going to use this vessel. He going to use me greatly. If I can sit there and say, yes, my Lord, how may I help you? My Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing, my Lord? See, he's not even used to me saying that. Gerald, how you doing, my Lord?
Morning, Blake.
See what I mean? He won't even let me help myself. He's talking about don't even play. Now, Sarah called her husband Lord. Did you not read that in the Bible, sir?
Yes, I did.
Oh. So you don't want me to call you Lord?
Call me whatever you feel like calling me.
This is the comedy hour. We're going to have a comedy show one of these days, my husband and I. We're going to do a Blog Talk Radio comedy hour.
Yeah.
Yes, comedy hour. Okay, so as I was saying, I have not gotten to that point to where I actually have called him Lord, okay? But Sarah called her husband Lord. How about that? We're going to pray about that one. I don't think God's going to hold it against me if I don't call him Lord. But I do know that God wants me to submit to my husband. He wants us wives to submit to our husbands. But God does not want us to lose our identity as we submit to our husbands. He still wants us to be who we are. He still wants us to be who we are. And guess what? We're going to be who we are. We're going to be who we are. Let's read Proverbs 31, like I said. And then after this, we're going to be done. Unless, of course, my husband has something that he'd like to say. Because I did like the man's perspective about a woman's worth. I really did. Okay. Let's see here. Proverbs 31, if you have your Bibles, would you please turn with me there? And if you turn with me, please have your Bible. Okay, Proverbs 31. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what, the son of my womb, and what, the son of my vows. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all. Let me say that again. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Now, verse 10 starts the virtuous woman. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Heard that? Her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Excuse me. Thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gate. I have just read Psalm 31 about the virtuous woman. The virtuous woman. The virtuous woman. Let us pray that we will be virtuous women. That we will be virtuous women. Amen. We have several people on the line. If anybody has a comment, we have about 29 minutes left. So if anybody has a comment, would you please press the 1? And can you tell us a little bit about what you think a woman's worth is, or even what your worth is, what your purpose is? We have area code 904, area code 919, area code 757, and area code 215. If any of you would like to press the button, the number 1, we can get you on the air so you can discuss this. Everybody's being quiet tonight? Okay. Honey, do you have anything else you'd like to say?
Not really. You've covered it all.
All righty then. Nobody has anything to say. Amazing.
amazed that the women don't have anything more to add.
Oh, wow. Women, that sounds like a challenge to me. I don't know. Let me see this one right here. Sounds like a challenge. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Not you. Hello, area code 267?
Yes.
That is not you. Cheryl? Yes,
yeah,
I'm talking to you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine. Have you been listening in?
Uh-huh, sure have.
Okay, you have any comments, questions?
Well, girl, I got a long way to go.
Yes, this is Shirley.
Hey, Shirley.
Hey. How are you?
I'm not bad. How you doing?
I'm going all right.
You have a long way to go. So what exactly does that mean?
Hey.
My Lord. That's saying a lot. You coming to Bible study tomorrow?
Say what?
Are you coming to Bible study tomorrow?
I don't know. Don't give me the lion.
No, I don't
want to
do that.
Mm-mm, don't get me lying.
Okay, do you know your worth, lady?
Do I? I don't know. That's just like up in the air.
Oh.
It's up in the
up
air.
In the air.
So do you know
up
your purpose?
Mm-mm, no.
Can I work with her?
Wow.
We've been talking with her about her purpose, but I don't. She won't receive it. Okay. Anybody else would like to talk to Gerald and Teresa Scott about your worth or your purpose? Area code 919. If I knew who you were, I would press that button for you, but I don't know who you are, and I don't know who 757 is either. 215, I wasn't there to push your number because you didn't press one, so I'm not going to press you. Come on, y'all, speak to me, please. Okay, nobody wants to talk. Shirley don't know what to say, so we're going to let her marinate for a little while and then talk to her about her words a little later on. But as we said, know your worth, okay? Don't let people belittle you. Don't let people tear you down. Don't let people, you know, talk down to you. Don't let people call you what you're not. Okay? And teach your daughters, if you have daughters, teach your daughters that they are not the dumping ground for some person. I was getting ready to say it. Ooh, for some person or multiple people's sperm. You are worth more than a used car. Okay? You are worth more than that. We need to teach our daughters this. Let them know that, look, honey, you are worth a lot. Okay? God made you specifically as a woman. You are worth a lot. Know your worth. I'm not saying walk around being arrogant. I'm saying know your worth. And when you know your worth, you're not going to let people just do any and anything they want to do to you because you know your worth. Come on now. Huh. We better act like we know. Yeah, act like we know. If you got to go to the store and get a crown to put on your head and say, I'm a queen, whatever you got to do to bring up your self-esteem, whatever you got to do to make yourself understand your worth. Ladies, I'm trying to get us to understand that we are worth more than just being somebody that can get it on, you know, get jiggy with it. We're worth more than that. Come on. I have gifts and talents. You have gifts and talents. You can change the world just by you knowing your worth. You can change the world with the gifts and talents that you have. You can change the world just by knowing your worth, ladies.
My God.
If you don't know your worth, how do you expect somebody else to know your worth? How do you expect somebody else to know that you are a good person, that you have gifts and talents, and that, yes, God didn't make no junk.
No, he didn't.
And if you keep walking around treating yourself like junk, that's how other people are going to treat you, like junk. If you walk around and you're looking like the bag lady, that's what they're going to treat you like, the bag lady. You might not even feel like getting up and getting dressed. Sometimes I feel so bad. There was like a couple of days where I just got up and got dressed. I don't go nowhere most of the time, but I would just get up and get dressed just because. Because if you're not careful, you'll be sitting around, and then depression will get in, and all this other foolishness will get in, and you'll be like, wow, how did I get here? Honey, know your worth. And it doesn't take a man to make you know your worth. Holla. Somebody, area code 757, press the 1. I'm going to see who this is.
Hello.
Good evening, area code 757. Welcome to Out of a Pure Heart Ministries.
My name is Chantal, and I'm from Norfolk, Virginia. I just wanted to comment on one thing that you did say. You said something about people thinking that you're arrogant. I have that come to me a lot because I'm not an arrogant person. I am a woman of God, but like you say, you're supposed to know your worth. And I guess that's just my demeanor. I'm direct, you know, I'm forward, and I always get that response that I'm an arrogant person, but I'm not an arrogant person.
Because you're direct and straightforward?
Yes, I'm just a direct person. I don't have time for foolishness and, you know, stuff like that. I'm just straightforward. And I always get that comment that I'm an arrogant person, but I'm not. I'm a very loving person. I reach out to a lot of, you know, young women because I have had a lot of experiences in my life, and it seems like I come in contact with a lot of young women to try to, you know, help them through like a mentor. And it's just that I get that approach that I am arrogant, but I'm not.
Well, I'm direct and I'm to the point. I don't never get arrogant. I get mean. Arrogant, I get mean. You're just mean.
I get that too.
Okay,
but
so.
A lot. So I don't have time, you know, for drama, you know, and I have, like you said, I hear you telling our daughters, you know, if you have daughters, to let them know that, you know, they're worth more than, you know, just whatever. And I do. I have a 17-year-old daughter and I have a 25-year-old daughter. And I feel like the walk that I walk is because I have to set an example for them no matter what. But
right.
I get that approach, you know. People tell me I have a mean, arrogant look, but I'm not that way.
I think we have to have a balance, though, because one thing my husband told me is that, okay, you're direct and you're straightforward most of the time, but you have to have balance. Like, you gotta, I don't know you, Chantel, but, like, I'm not a person that does a lot of laughing kind of thing, so my demeanor is not always jovial. Like my husband, he's jovial all the time. It's not much that really gets him down. So, But I'm learning how to laugh more. I'm learning how to, even with people that get on my nerves, to, you know, be more friendly to them. Even though I'm straight and direct most of the time, there's a time and a place for that. And a lot of people do get pushed off because of that, and they will call you mean. And a lot of people don't like that direct approach. They don't really care for the direct approach. They want somebody who, you know, is a little less frightening.
It's a little less frightening.
Somebody is more human and you're more able to deal with. So that's what I'm learning about myself. I don't know really what to tell you because straight and direct is good because at least people know where you're coming from. But ask God about the balance. Ask God about the balance, how to make it a little bit better so that people won't be afraid to approach you or won't hesitate when it's time to approach you because they think they're going to get mean or arrogant. It got to be some kind of balance. My husband, honey, do you have anything to say about that?
I agree with you completely. It has to be a balance. You have to be able to communicate with the person. If you can't do that, then everything is shut down. There's no meeting of the minds, if you will. They're gonna take an approach. They're gonna receive you in a way that they're not gonna be open to what you're trying to say. You're trying to get your point across, but you have to be careful that your point is lost in the way you present it.
Right.
Okay.
That's so very important. I'm trying to get you to understand something, but in order for me to get you to understand it, I have to present it in a way that you will receive it. If you're coming at me with both barrels, I'm going to try to hide from you. I'm not trying to hear you and stand and relate to you and trying to empathize or sympathize with what you're saying to me, because you're saying it in a way that's hostile. You're saying it in a way that puts me off. You're saying it in a way that closes me down. Instead of up, you're closing me down. And your intention is to open me up. You want me to understand what you're trying to say. But the end result is you're closing me down because of how you're saying it.
That was good, honey.
It sure was, but I don't have a problem with communicating. It's just my look, they tell me. I just look like that, but I can't change that.
Oh, you can.
How?
Why?
How can I change that?
I don't know, because I'm working on it with you. Because I have looks. Family, we just have looks. We just look at people. Like, the looks that we give, they're just... There's a store around the corner from us that my husband and I frequent a lot. And the guy was like, why do you always look so mean? I'm not trying to look mean. This is how I look. But they're bringing it to my attention, I'm constantly trying to be aware of what am I thinking at this time? What am I looking like at this time? I don't want people to look at me and say, here she come. You know, in a bad way. I want to be able to approach, because I don't know when God's going to use me to minister, but I don't want to be mean mugging people when I'm ministering to them.
Me either. I'm the same way. But, I mean, I deal with people every day. I've been a flight attendant for over 12 years. It's just certain people see me, and they just say I'm a mean-looking person. But I'm not. I'm a very loving person, but I just don't tolerate nonsense. That's what it is.
Yeah, and I agree. I'm like that too, but I'm asking God to chill me out. I'm not going to be nobody's pushover. I don't ever believe that's going to happen. But I believe that there comes a point in time where you just have to, there's a softness that God wants us to have.
I'm praying that God gives it to me, because in these 40 years, I haven't gotten it yet. I love to help people. I mean, I'm not a mean person. I'm a good person, but I always get that, and I wanted to ask that question because that's the approach I get from people. But I deal with people all day long, every day, all over this world, but I still get that same approach.
Yeah, well we can we'll ask God and just really, you know, when you go to him and ask God, like, Lord, I hear the complaints of the people, and Lord, you know my heart. You know my heart, but God, let my outside match what's on the inside.
Yeah.
If I'm going through something at the time, and I might be stressed out about something and not really, really understand that I'm stressed out about it, but it's coming out that way just by the way. You know? And God, he will change it. God, he cares about the minutest thing about us. You know, it might seem, you know, unimportant to God. You know why? Because it's important to you.
Can I just add another point to this?
Sure.
You're saying, I think what I've done in my life, I'm a little older, I guess, than both of you, and what I've done in my life is I look at everyone's situation as being important to them. It doesn't have to be. It's your situation. So if it's important to you, it's important to you. And so I look at things like that. I know they were speaking this morning, Evander Scott and Evander Max, about how you deal with people that really don't particularly care for you, you know, even in ministry, people that you know
or using you or misusing you, whatever the case may be. When I was pastoring for nearly 12 years in one of the Methodist denominations, I've had to deal with people that were my enemies. I mean, really, members that really wanted to see my demise, literally, and wanted to certainly to see my demise professionally. And when they would come to me because of maybe a family member died or a family member was sick or they needed some special care that only a pastor could give, and they came to me now because I'm their pastor and sought me to give them that comfort, that solace, that advice, that counsel, that assistance if it need be. And I'm at a dilemma. Do I, someone who's just went to see the presiding elder to try to move me from the church I'm at, am I gracious to them? Or do I say, well, why don't you go to presiding elder, go to another pastor that you like better than me? No. I always understood this fact, that I'm not who I am because of who you are. I am me by myself. And you're not going to change me by how you act towards me. I refuse to allow that to happen. Am I tempted to do that? Am I tempted to tit for tat and eye for an eye kind of thing? Of course, I'm human being as well as anybody else. But when I find myself beginning to regress to that type of a response, I shake myself off and I say, oh, no. Before I know who you were, I was who I am. And after you're nothing but a faint memory, I'm going to still have to deal with me. So I'm not going to change who I am for anybody. So when I deal with people, I've learned to deal with people on their level. They're coming to me. I'm not going to them with their problem. They're coming to me with their problem. Or they're coming to me with whatever nonsense that I may think it is. I can't look at it like that because it's not me that I'm coming to them for. They're coming to me. And so, therefore, I meet them where they are. I look at their situation. And really, I look at it like this. I go into it knowing you're coming to me with an issue. You're coming to me with whatever you're coming to me with. Even if it seems to be nonsense to me, it's not nonsense to you. So because you're coming to me, I got to deal with it from your perspective, not mine. I got to deal with it from how you see it, not the way I see it. And when we begin to relate to people like that, that you're coming to me or you're approaching me about something, I got to then take it away from me and direct it towards you because you're coming to me. And we begin to relate to people from where they are instead of trying to relate to them the way we understand or where we are, then we'll relate to people better.
Okay. That makes sense.
You know, it really does. It does. Because I think what we do is we try to project ourselves in the situation that they're in. And that's not even fair. They're not me. They can't look at it like I can, and I can't look at it like they can. All I can do is hear what they're saying, try to give counsel, advice, comfort, suggestions, whatever the case may be, maybe just a listening ear to what they're saying. I've sat down with many of folk and have heard their complaints and their situations, and I said, oh, my Lord, are they ever going to stop? This is so simple to resolve. But I can't say, man, stop that, man. This is a simple thing to resolve because it's not simple for you. So I sit there patiently, listening to what they're saying. And if they ask me for advice, I give it. If they don't ask me for advice, I don't give it.
Mm-hmm.
I just heard what you said. Thank you for listening to me. I said, my pleasure.
It's always good to have a listening ear. Yes, and I do. I like the advice that you gave. And I like to say that, you know, my mom had 13 children, and all her girls mean mug all the time. I don't know if my sister Shirley is still on the phone, but we mean mug and don't even know it. And I am asking God to change that about me because, especially when you're in ministry, you don't want people to, I don't want her coming to my church preaching because she's mean. Okay, but you judging me on my facial expression, but you don't really know what's going on. You know what I mean? But we got to be cognizant of other people's feelings as well. But I just want things to get different. So I'm going to be praying about that too, Chantel.
Yes.
So we have about 8 minutes left. Does anybody else who's on the phone line have anything to say? If you do, please press the number one. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on tonight. Area code 832, area code 215, area code 904/267. Chantel, and to my husband, who has been with me from the beginning. So we are back now. We took a little hiatus. We are back. And we do thank God. And we're going to be talking about a lot of women's issues. We're going to be talking about a lot of things. If you have any questions or comments that you would like to give me, I'm on Facebook. And it's Teresa, T-H-E-R-E-S-A. God is making me over again. All one word. Scott, S-C-O-T-T. So it's Teresa, God is making me over again, Scott, on Facebook. If you'd like to have a topic discussed on the program, please contact me on Facebook. You can also leave a message via Blog Talk Radio, and I will get that. Also, my email address is Mrs. MRS, TJ Scott at gmail.com, if you'd like to contact me that way. I am open to suggestions for show topics because there's a multitude of things going out there that I may not even know about. So if there's something you'd like to hear on this broadcast, if there's somebody you would like to be a guest on the broadcast, contact me. We are Christian-based. We want to talk to people from all walks of life, and we want people to get born again. That's major thing that we want, but we want women healed. There's a lot of women out here who are still broken and still need to be healed. There's a lot of women out here who's still suffering abuse in their homes, still women out here who are secretly using drugs and secretly drinking after they get home from church because they're hurting and they're in pain and nobody sees them, nobody understands, nobody can relate to them, and they're hurting. And we want to use this platform to help our sisters. We want to help everybody, but we're women broken, women whole. So we want to minister to women to try to get women to come out and come out of the hurt, come out of the pain, come out of the low self-esteem, come out of not knowing who we are, and to really become who we are so that we can become who we are in Christ Jesus. So that we can minister to other women who are broken and need to be whole. So we can minister to other people who need to come to Jesus Christ and accept him as their Lord and Savior. So we want to be that vessel that God can use, okay? And we also want to know, you know, the gifts and the talents and stuff that we have. We want to begin to learn how to utilize them, how to begin to identify them, you know, so we can go forth and do what we're supposed to do. Amen. This is 2013, January 7th, and we thank God for the first program of the year. We look forward to meeting with you again on Wednesday at 5 p.m., same station, same phone number, and if the Lord sees fit, we ask you to join us then, okay? Until then, God bless you, God keep you, and may his blessings be upon you. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.